In a world where all of John Granato's vices combine in a symphony of debauchery, two strangers must work in tandem to prevent John's gambling, golf, and guzzling from consuming and destroying all those surrounding him during his episodes. Those strangers are Lance Zierlein and Del Olalea, and the task ahead of them is vast and treacherous. Can they face the challenge? Will they survive? Well, you're about to find out because you're in the trench.
Get in the trench.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. It's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. I just posted on X, what formerly the site formerly known as Twitter, how you can, the website where you can reserve your spot here at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Come for a weekend and check it out. If you have not done this, get some buddies together. Four of you come on down. You play golf. You hang out. You get your rooms here. You watch the games all weekend long. Just fantastic. It doesn't get any better than this. I'm telling you, what a great weekend. And it's a lot cheaper than going to Vegas. So get on over here. It is a Vegas casino. You going in? You swimming today at the pool, though?
I didn't bring trunks. I was talking to someone, and she said, I don't want to be your friend anymore because you didn't bring trunks. Like, apparently, she's a traveler, and that's a known thing. I didn't even think about bringing.
You didn't even think
she's
about
she's a no. traveler?
No, not a gypsy. She likes to travel.
Oh, we used the
You didn't
G
bring
word.
Your trunks?
We used the G word?
Yeah, we can do it here.
Yeah, we can.
We can in Louisiana.
In Louisiana, we can say that word.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Tell you didn't bring your trunks today.
I didn't bring my swimming trunks. I didn't think about it at all.
Oh, you do not fit into the traveler mode. You don't even have your trunks, though.
No.
I like that as a name, traveler, that they call gypsies travelers.
Well, they don't like the term gypsy because it has negative connotations.
So you're supposed to always have your trunks.
Well,
at all
when
times.
You go to a resort,
who
you're supposed
you?
To have your
who's
trunks.
Who's your friend?
Yeah, you're at a resort.
Wait,
why are you asking me things?
Who's this friend that's going through Dell's wardrobe stuff like, where's your trunks?
I sent a picture of the view.
Does she want you to
who
go?
Who is this person that you're sending that to?
Someone you know.
All natural?
I can give you. No.
Does she want you to go all natural?
Dell's got a girlfriend.
I don't. I said. No, I would have said girlfriend, but I said friend. I'm not going to hide that if I had one. I had a friend. She doesn't live in the state. I know her. She goes. I sent her a picture of the view because I told her I was going to be here. And she goes, you're going to get on the slide? As a joke. I was like, I didn't even see a slide. Apparently there's a slide. And I said, I didn't even bring my trunk. She goes, I don't want to be your friend anymore. You didn't bring trunks to a resort. That's what it was.
Well, it must not have been a very tight relationship. You must not have been bringing it.
Well,
okay.
What?
If I say friend.
HR and P.
If she's like unfriending you because
John,
you didn't bring trunks.
John, I don't know if you know friends tell each other jokes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this.
All right.
Your friends buy each other clothes.
Yeah,
so
your friends buy each other jeans.
No.
Stop. I wouldn't want to be a friend to you at all.
Apparently not bringing it.
Yeah, because John has never heard a joke between friends before. He thinks that's a serious conversation.
This is thing he's got on you now, so he's going to wear this one out.
It's so stupid.
Hey, we got a giveaway. University of Houston takes on UTSA this Saturday. All right, just a couple of days away now. And the Cougs' first season in the Big 12. Brian, caller number 4 at exactly, let's see what time, at exactly 8:10. Let's just do it coming up right here. 8:10. You're going to win two tickets, to the game, 713-780-3776. But don't call until 810. Caller number 4 wins a pair of tickets to the University of Houston game on Saturday, September 2nd, just 2 days away. You can also get a family 4-pack, 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs and chips, 4 sodas for just $60. Go to UHCougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. Tickets also start at just $20. There's less than 4,000 seats left. How about that?
That's great.
It is great. They are, as soon as the season ends, they're putting in all new suites. They're tearing out the end zone. They're putting in, they're making it, it is going to be totally, totally sweet. And, you know, they've got a lot of big plans going on for the University of Houston. I really like that what Dana said, screw them to the University of Texas and to Oklahoma. But Steve Sarkisian is none too happy, right, with what's going on with Yormark. Texas Tech to go and do what they did last year and take care of that business against Texas in the first game of the in the last game of the season, on Thanksgiving. Here's what uh, Here's what Steve Sarkisian said about that. He said, I got a letter from the commissioner about sportsmanship the day before that speech. So I'm trying to figure out what are we promoting to our student athletes. To go say those types of things, I'm not guessing he's going to have his Thanksgiving dinner with us the night before that game. I'm guessing he's not.
Hold on. Stop being so damn soft.
They are soft.
There's nothing about sport. What was so bad, I guess sportsmanship-wise, about the Big 12 commissioner saying to his current and future Big 12 member, go beat Texas?
Well, I saw some websites that were going, Texas is still part of the Big 12.
Wait till he finds out what
you should be unbiased.
Wait till he finds out what Dana says.
Oh, yeah.
How's that bad sportsmanship?
Well, are you sure Dana should have said this, though? I mean,
no.
After the game, yeah.
Yeah.
After you played Texas.
I probably wouldn't have thrown that bulletin board stuff out there.
No.
Texas has a chance to be pretty good. Dana spoke his mind. Yeah. You know, I respect it.
Well, Dana always speaks his mind.
He spoke his mind. He asked a good question. He got in his bag, and he just unleashed on him.
Sark's a perfect coach for Texas, just as soft as they are. I mean, continue with that. Stop it. Just go win the football game.
Yeah.
We all know where you're going. Why would the Big 12 commissioner have any kind words for a team that almost ruined his conference? They had to scramble to keep it together. Stop it. Soft ass.
How about
Texas.
This? I'm going to take the other side. I'm going to defend my wife's school here.
Of course you are.
How about you? How about be a pro commissioner?
A pro?
How about be a pro commissioner?
It's college football.
How about do your job?
How about
you have one job? Your job is to look over this conference.
How about this, Texas? How about actually get some pros, some kids that are drafted? How about do that?
Because
instead of all the five stars that you don't develop.
Okay, now that I'm on devil's advocate side for my wife's team, how about we worry about college student athletes? You can worry about pro stuff where you're just running them through that diploma mill over there at LSU, John. What we're trying to do is get student-athletes.
When Tulane has more draft picks than you do, okay, then you know what?
Student-athletes.
Okay, student-athletes.
Yeah.
Five stars.
Do you remember that bit Raheel did when he said he was looking for sportsmanship at his final key to the game?
Yeah.
We learned that at Texas. Apparently Sark did too. How about you lose less than four games in a season before you start talking about sportsmanship?
Sark's sensitive, though.
Oh yeah, yes.
Sark is sensitive. I've learned that, and I think there is. It is so weird that everyone who goes to Tech. Charlie Strong wasn't sensitive necessarily. He just didn't end up being a.
Oh, Tom Herman was sensitive.
Tom Herman was always sensitive. So Mac Brown was. Mega,
oh my God.
Mega sensitive. It's been a weird thing at Tech. I don't understand how no matter who's at Texas, the same stuff happens. But I do think they're going to win this year. I think they'll win at a pretty high clip. Yeah, probably
not with
Sark.
That leadership.
If I'm Sark, I'm just like
it's so inconsequential. Who cares?
Here's what I do: I take it behind the scenes to the players. Like, look at this. I use it as motivation.
Yeah,
I take all that stuff as us against
them.
I
don't know if he knows this, but every place he goes to where a Big 12 team remains, they already hate you. Now they know that you're leaving. You're gonna catch it more. I don't think the Big 12 commissioner saying what he said is going to affect you. You're gonna hear that in every road building.
What if they do horns down? Then how are we going to – that's unfair.
You saw that. Gets penalized on the field.
Yeah. No.
By the way, everybody does horns down. If you play South Carolina, they will do horns down.
Hurts our feelings.
When you play Iowa State, it's horns down. When you play teams that aren't even in your conference, if you play Boise, their fans –
wait till they get to the SEC.
But let me ask on a
serious
note – you
think the SEC is going to penalize people for doing horns down?
No, but let me ask you this question. How did this travel? But is it because the game is such a big game or such a well-known game, Texas, Oklahoma? Like, Texas fans don't care that Oklahoma does it. They don't like when other people do it. But how did horns down become an international symbol of any time you play Texas, you're supposed to do horns down?
Well, any team who has that symbol is going to have it.
Yeah.
I'm a Miami fan. We haven't
been
good.
They
do the
U
down. It happens everywhere. Like,
yeah,
the Gator
true.
Chomp gets crossed. Cut like a slit throat neck thing because they're like when they do that.
Yeah.
It's what everyone does. As long as you have a hand signal, someone's going to take their shot.
Yeah, but it hurts our feelings though, Del.
Well, get over it.
Well,
I mean,
you know what? It would be nice if people show some sportsmanship to Texas.
And the worst part of the worst part about it is he put it on his players. What is he trying to teach our student athletes? It's not about the players. He hurt your feelings for whatever reason, and now you're bringing it to the public. These players don't care what the Big 12 commissioner
they really
said.
Don't.
Stop it.
They really don't.
They don't.
In real life, they don't.
And you know what? They know. Nobody's going to like us. Guess what? I would, if I'm Sark, look at this. This is an us against the world. It's us against the world this year.
Yeah.
And they've got a talented team. If they don't do it this year, they haven't done it since 2009. If they don't win this conference this year, they're so weak. I'm telling you, I don't know how Texas has had all of this talent, and they've been so weak since 2009.
I know the talent. I'm just amazed by everyone backing this team, considering the coach's history and the program's history, that, oh, this is the year. This is the year they figure it out. You know there's going to be some team.
Kansas State is going to win this conference.
They might. They did it last year. No Deuce Vaughn, so that's a big miss. But why would anyone back Texas until proven otherwise? Make Texas show you that they are what you think they are before you pick them. You mentioned 2009. It's been a decade and a half almost since they won anything. And, this is the year. Why? Because Quinn Ewers, the guy who would rather transfer to get his money than stay in high school, is the guy you want to back? Stop it. Why back them until they do it?
Have you heard this yet? I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not supposed to.
Ooh.
Have you seen this?
Are those
University
real?
Of Houston
Are those
uniforms?
Real?
Oh, I love that.
It's real. Has anyone
That's
told
U of
you?
H?
Yeah.
It's not the Texans.
Not the Texans.
No,
it has Big 12 on it.
It's their Oiler.
What?
No.
It's
this
out
hasn't
there.
Been released.
Oh,
no,
it hasn't
it's not.
Been released?
Oh, it hasn't been released?
No.
Oh, that is sweet. That is totally
when
sweet.
When does it come out? When is the promo stuff going to come out for that?
Let me see.
I think you're going to like the uniforms if you like Houston, period. Now that we've seen them.
That is sweet.
That's the third kit, as we call it.
Oh, my goodness. That is totally sweet. All right. You're going to find out soon enough. Lance Nice.
I think it drops today.
It drops today? Oh,
I
cool.
I think it's going to drop today. Cougars. Cool. I didn't know Cougars were going to have a new uniform.
It's totally sweet. Wait till you see it later today, people.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night Man.
I miss you, Night Man, so bad.
Chances are John stayed up all night on a high after winning big at the Bacharach table. And Lance is refreshed from his Japanese spa treatment, funded by a 16 parlay win. It's John and Lance, live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about them Astros just winning again in first place? Oh, by the way, those Rangers who are uncatchable. Remember when y'all were saying, oh, yeah, the Rangers, there's no way they can catch the Rangers. There's just no chance. They're already a game ahead of them.
That's a gross misinterpretation of what actually was discussed.
No one won't win the division.
No one ever said they wouldn't win the division.
You'd win by
yes, they
six
did.
And a half.
You
said
oh,
six,
yes, they
you
did.
Said six and a half. That was the contention.
I said six.
Well, whatever. Six
but,
then.
But yeah, but no. They can't win.
If
they
don't
win
get
the division.
No, the thing is,
they were
they have
three
to get
games
to six.
Back in August.
They
and y'all were like, it's over. We're going
to
be a wild card.
They have to get to six. They have to get to six. That's what you said.
You said six.
They're going to win the division by six games?
Man, they're going to might want to beat the Rangers by 12 games the
who
way
cares?
They're playing.
What about Seattle? Now okay. Do Seattle.
No, who cares about Seattle? I don't care. We were talking about beating the Rangers.
Now you don't win the division you said win the division by six.
Yeah, you guys didn't even know that Seattle was a team at that time. You didn't even think they had a chance.
By six. If they
y'all don't know nothing.
If they don't, you said you would.
Y'all are so weak.
Unpaid suspension.
Yeah, we're not going to win the division.
No, what
it's too hard.
If the Astros don't win the division by six games,
No, you said they wouldn't even win the division.
That's not true.
Yes, you did.
That's not true.
He's changing it. He's
changing
moving the goalposts on you.
No.
He said
not
six games.
The
win
you
by
two
six.
Were both.
The
said, win too hard. By six.
The conversation was never
right
about
now.
Whether the Astros would win the division.
Tricky.
It was always about how many games they would win it by.
Not even fans. Just beat it, okay? Don't need you two on this train.
Just put your Stroud boy shirt on and stop lying to the people.
I wish I had a Stroud boy shirt. If anybody finds one, send me the link. I'll buy me a Stroud boy shirt because I am a Stroud boy. But I'm more of an Astro boy. Okay, I am a fan. I'm a fanboy.
He just said I am a Stroud boy.
Yeah,
I am. Okay. And
I am quite sure the Texans do not want you propagating Stroud boys.
Why? I think that's great.
Clever.
If there's sections of Stroud boys out there, the Texans are going to love that Stroud boy T-shirts. Let's go. Let's get it. Astros win again. Uncle Mike with a nice man. I'm going to tell you this. Now I just saw a top five contenders for Cy Young in the American League. Fromber's not part of it. Fromber's a little hiccup there. It's probably too much to overcome. Garrett Cole is still the favorite. But there's guys up there that you probably never even heard of that are having really great years in the American League. Fromber's not one of them. That's just fine. That's okay. You can under – Fromber looks like he had 12 straight no-hit innings. Or, no, he had 9 straight no-hit innings after his 7 and then the first 2 innings. Maybe it was – no. Maybe it was 10 or 11 straight no-hit innings. And Fromber looks like he's back again. Fromber's got – that breaking ball was cutting.
Uh-huh.
He was humping it. His sinker was humping it up there at 95. He is – Fromber looks like Fromber again.
Yeah.
Fromber now, maybe Fromber's game one starter. I don't care.
He had that nice tail on that fastball that bites in on left-handers. And I'm comfortable with Fromber, and I probably shouldn't be as comfortable as I am with Justin Verlander because we still need to see more than just a game from him looking really good because his last one, it was a little bit of a struggle for him. But I don't know. I don't worry about him either. Javier, I'm to the point where I don't even want to see him. I just don't want to see him pitch in the postseason. And then, France came back. It is weird going into a season knowing that you went into the season with so much high hopes for your pitching staff. McCullers, Garcia, they're nowhere. You're not going to have them. Two guys who are starters out of the rotation completely. They don't play this year. Hunter Brown has been a little up and down, and then Javier has been. This has just been one of the most disappointing follow up seasons that I've ever seen for an Astro. And with that said, you're kind of having a piecemeal. When the offense is great, it's fine. But right now, you're kind of having to piecemeal your rotation. You really don't know what you're going to get on any given day from most of these pitchers. That's the concern. But what I didn't expect is for the offense to get this hot with so many players getting this hot right now. So on the road, they are just such a good road team. They're much better at on the road than at home. They go on the road, sweep Boston and Boston. Yordan, as you mentioned.
First time they've done that.
It's the first time they've done it, and Yordan is the greatest hitter in the history of Fenway. That's by
50 or more bats.
Look, I'm a numbers guy.
No.
That's what the numbers say.
Yeah. No. He's the greatest ever. Greatest hitter in the history of Fenway, 50 more or more at bats. That is totally, totally sweet. Yordan looks like himself again. Bregman looks like himself again. Tucker is Tucker. Altuve's Altuve. McCormick. Uncle Mike. Pena's hitting. Even Machete is hitting. Holy crap. Now, you got the Yankees tonight. You got the Yankees at home tonight, a weekend series. This is pretty big, and the Yankees suck, but this is still pretty big. You don't face Cole in this series. It's Verlander, Rodon, Brown and Severino, and Javier and King. We saw J.P. France in Game 2 in Boston. Asked about, he just got lit up for 10 runs against this same lineup. Are you going to pitch him again in Boston? And he goes, and Dusty was like, yeah, what are we, cowards? He goes, I got to teach.
Who asked that question?
Well, the media said, are you going to switch up the
That's
rotation?
A dumb question.
Are you going to switch? Oh, it's because it was the same matchup, Bello against him, and he gave up 10 runs at Minute Maid, so he faces him again at Fenway.
So?
And Dusty goes, no. And you know what was the problem? You know why he gave it up? He was tipping pitches.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. His glove position was tipping pitches for Boston, and Boston picked it up because they're cheaters.
No, we don't want to say tipping pitches is cheating. It's not cheating, and we get tip pitches. It does happen, though. I now am acutely aware of the fact that this is a thing.
It is a thing.
We've had players talk about that, how often other players tip pitches, and guys on the bench are constantly looking for it. Yeah. They're studying film for it. I think it happens way more than we realize.
And
Christian Javier – now, Javier's stuff doesn't look the same. It's not tipping pitches. His stuff just doesn't look the same.
His stuff is not the same. No, but you know how much you hate Presley and how much you hate Uncle Mike, and you've been battering Murphy and Miller. Well, Murphy and Miller saw it, and Murphy and Miller fixed it. So thank you, Murphy and Miller.
They did their job.
Yeah,
great.
They did their job. Yeah.
Now do your job on Christian Javier.
Well, that's a problem. So Javier is pitching the third game in this series, a game that you might have to have. You got to have all the games now, but you're heading into Texas right after this. Big weekend series. The Yankees suck, okay? There's no question about that. You lit up Rodon, so you don't care about that. Severino can't. You're going to take care of that business. Javier's a big problem. Javier is a real, real problem. How much longer do you continue to roll him out there or just say, I think Kenyon Javier, I think you gotta go, you're going to have to go on the IR?
Don't say that's so disrespectful. IR. Not actually the IR.
IL. Injured list.
What about getting himself right in Sugar Lane?
Well, you can't set, I mean, he's a veteran player that's got a $64 million contract. There's got to be a reason that he does a rehab start down there.
They sent Yordan down there.
Yeah, no, for a rehab.
They sent Altuve down.
And they sent Uncle Mike down, professional hitter. 19-year professional hitter.
They said, go figure it out down there.
No, he said rehab.
They didn't send him down because of suck.
Okay. Yeah, no.
I don't know. I don't know what you do with Javier. I just.
How much longer do you trot him out there when you got to have these games?
I think I want Urquidy out of the bullpen. No, Urquidy threw 100 pitches the other day out of the bullpen. I think I want Urquidy in a bullpen.
Well, and according to this, according to ESPN, Urquidy is no longer part of the rotation. All right, it's Verlander, Brown. It's Valdez, Verlander, Brown, Javier, France.
Yeah. And then you can basically just squeeze Javier completely out.
Now,
of it.
I don't know that they know that. It's just they put the probable starters on this on the ESPN list. Dusty could change that up at any time.
He could, but if you get to the playoffs, what you can do is basically just hide Javier in the bullpen. I mean, just say, look, I mean, you're not going to go with the fifth starter. I know Dusty might not because he's been a guy who's had great games and. We would all love for Javier to get back there, but it's just hasn't shown itself for over two.
No, he could get Urquidy'd. Urquidy got that last year. Stanek got that last year.
Yeah, Urquidy actually wasn't great.
No,
at times last year, like
he got
kind of like Javier. The numbers are similar, actually.
Yeah, no. There's very much a possibility that Javier is not going to be. He'll be sitting in the bullpen, or maybe you don't even put him on the roster. That's a possibility too. All right, 713-780-37. Oh, no, Josh Pate joins us on the other side, brought to you by DeBarnes Barbecue.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg!
John, Lance, and Dell are coming to you live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. What are they going to talk about? What happened?
What happened now? What happened?
Update.
Ooh, update? Update?
Welcome back. We are live at the Golden Nugget DraftKings Sportsbook. What a great, great time of the year it is. And he's going to be celebrating it with us all year long. Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Great follow. I've been following him. And he gives all kinds of great information. You can also see him at Late Kick Live, Late Kick Podcast. And Josh, welcome back to the show.
Before we get back into that with Josh, he's got to discuss this with us. He's got to give us a definition for this because I think it's important for this show. Pate State. Tell us, what is Pate State? What does that mean? When people say, is this person Pate State worthy? What exactly is Pate State?
Well, it's a great question. I'm glad you gave me this opportunity on this platform to clear it up. Look, some of us love to live in a complete fairy tale land, and I'm one of them. And so I figured, why just have a show? Like, why just have Late Kick? Why not create our own fictitious university to attach to it as sort of a marketing appendage? And look, it didn't stop there. That would have been a nice little T-shirt. But then all of a sudden, people started asking, well, what in the world do I do to get into this fictitious university? So I said, well, don't act like a fool. Don't act like a loser. Be a good person. And also, you know, if you could help promote the show publicly, that would be great, too. And so anytime I say Pate State material, it just means it's one of us, a person that's one of us. You two, in other words, would be Pate State material.
Nice.
Not John.
No.
He acts like a fool. He's out.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think you're probably going to be partying at Pate State, so I'm in. But I will say this, Josh, I'm following you on Twitter, and I saw a tweet, a picture of you in a car with a young lady, and I never doubted your game, Josh, but I was like, hey, Josh got it going on at Pate State right now, just so you know.
Look, in Pate State summertime, we don't have class there, but we do have fun. And so, yeah, those are long car rides sometimes we take in the South, so you have to keep yourself company. And, look, if there's a hitchhiker somewhere along the way, you pick her up. That's what you do.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
It's called being a good person. Don't worry, John doesn't have class either. So that's
I got class. I'm like,
they don't have class at Page State, and you don't have any class.
You're like school on Saturday.
No class. So let me ask you, we were talking about, I think Florida State beats LSU this week.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
No, that's not dumb at all.
And Josh, tell him how dumb he is.
Josh, what do you think now? Florida State versus LSU, two very good coaches. Brian Kelly seemed to turn a corner pretty quickly last year with LSU. Two good defenders, I thought, Fabian Lovett and obviously Jared Verse, come back for Florida State's defense. What are your thoughts on this game?
I think in week one, just usually, I look at these games and I say, all right, havoc always matters. Like, disruptive defensive fronts always matter. But they matter more to me in college in week one because everything is so wobbly anyway, coming out of the gate. And this game has it both sides. LSU's got him, even without Mason Smith. LSU's got him. FSU's got him. You mentioned Jared Verse there. And a number of these guys, like, what happens if these guys don't come back? Jordan Travis technically could have chosen not to come back. And instead, you got them all back there. They've done a good job two cycles in a row out of the portal. And I think that as much as people are excited to watch these quarterbacks, and as much as people are excited, and rightfully so, to see if there's an LSU wide receiver core behind Malik Nabers or all these dudes that FSU could have, including that tight end, by the way, that they brought in, Jaheim Bell. Don't overlook him. I think it could be those defensive fronts that end up getting after someone and end up putting balls in the ground or forcing incomplete passes or forcing turnovers that ultimately decide it. I didn't have a strong feel on this. Like, I went LSU, but I went LSU very slightly. I didn't put any money on it, so I'm just going to kick my feet up and watch the game right after our show Sunday night.
That's going to be so much fun. That's going to be a good game. Josh, tell us about, okay, let's just pick the top three new quarterbacks. Who's going to struggle the most, Ohio State, Alabama, or Georgia with their quarterback, new quarterback situation?
Well, I got a lot of belief in Carson Beck. I was up there last year. I guess Georgia's down there for me relative to where I live now, but I was down there last year during the Tennessee week. I went over to their facility Friday and talked to a lot of their staff. This is when Stetson Bennett's there. And I said, if he went down, who would be the next guy? Or next year, like, who will be the guy? And they never hesitated. They all said, oh, it's Carson Beck. Like, Carson could play for us now. We would be comfortable putting him in now. So a lot of the quarterback competition stuff in spring and summer that was written a lot about, I didn't waste a lot of time on. I thought it would be him. I think he'll be fine. Ironically enough, it's the supporting pieces that I have question about right now. Georgia's been really banged up at running back. They're already not elite at that position to the degree they have been in years past. Got a really good O-line. Also wonder if a true wide receiver one will emerge on that team. Don't worry about tight end one, but wide receiver one, I wonder if he'll emerge. So unlike the situation at Alabama, where I think they have a really solid ground game to lean on, ditto at Ohio State, I look at Georgia, and I actually think that may be the place the quarterback is asked to do a little more. And luckily for them, out of those three situations, I think they probably have the guy with, I don't know if you want to call it the best arm talent, the best complete package to be ready to go right now. So I'd say Carson Beck's the guy I'd circle, but those other two situations, man, those are so fascinating because you got about three or four teams in this country. We just mentioned three of them, but three or four teams in this country that can recruit at a level where they can afford to be average at quarterback or maybe a little above average at quarterback and still win a lot of games. And Ohio State's one of them, and Alabama's one of them. It's just a really small margin for error proposition when you do that.
Josh Pate with us at Late Kick Josh.
Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue.
Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Thank you, John. I've got kind of a general football question. You know, the amount of attention given to Deion Sanders has been just phenomenal. He's a showman. We know that. He brings eyes to the TV screen. I think people will pay attention to Colorado. But is it such a good thing for them this year? They've got over 50 players from the portal who are on the roster right now. Their over-under, I think, is 3.5 wins this year in Vegas. That's a lot of eyes to be looking at a program that's not going to be very good. Is it great that Deion and Colorado is getting this much attention this early on?
There are two schools of thought there. I'm with you, I think, based on the tone of your voice. But the other school of thought is someone somewhere along the way said, any publicity is good publicity. Now, I've always thought that was one of the dumbest things that anyone could ever say. But people say it all the time. And so in this case, yeah, they've gotten a lot of publicity. It's invaluable free marketing. And I guess if you're coming off a one-win season, your retort is, yeah, it can't get any worse. And okay, I'll grant you that. And I got all the respect in the world for Deion Sanders. It's just utterly insane what he was able to do. I think some people's anger towards him is misguided or misplaced. He's doing what he's allowed to do by the system. So if you don't like it, get mad at the system. Don't get mad at him. But I'm telling you, I think TCU is going to skull drag them Saturday. And I think the mismatch in many places, but specifically on the line of scrimmage, and also the exposure of what the difference is in getting a bunch of guys versus creating a football team is going to be exposed. And it's, like you said, it's the kind of thing where you build it up and you build it up and you build it up, and ooh, that's what it's going to be like. It's like back in the day when SMU came off the death penalty. And, you know, people were excited, but they also didn't know, like, what do we expect here? I mean, we used to win. Are we going to win again? And then they're getting 60, 70, 80, 90 hung on them, and they just get totally disheartened. That's what you got to look out for out there.
Josh Pate with us, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the DraftKings Sportsbook in Lake Charles at the Golden Nugget. How bullish are you on Texas this year?
I'm pretty bullish on them, but you always got to be careful in the public arena when you talk positively about Texas, because you get 47 people throwing the "Well, you always do this" line back at you, and I don't always do it. And everything I say is public, so you can go back and find it. I haven't always touted Texas. In fact, I don't think the words "Texas is back" have ever come out of my mouth, because it's already played out even before they've ever been back. But I think I've talked to you guys about this before. I'll say it one more time before the season starts. One of the biggest lies, one of the biggest myths in college football was, well, Texas was always recruiting really great. Well, Texas always had really great players. They did not, and they were not. It is what I call the Christmas tree fallacy of recruiting. You could go and recruit 25 ornaments. You could go get 25 five-star receivers. You're going to have a really highly rated class. Your team's going to suck, but you don't have a line of scrimmage talent. And they didn't have that. Excuse me. And so when Sark came in there, they made a decided effort to change that. And that's always a work in progress. But they're so night and day different on the line of scrimmage now. When you can actually say to yourself, Texas may be able to lean on run defense a little bit. Texas may be able to win a game defensively if they need to. I don't know when the last time we said that was. I mean, they've been converting wide receivers to safeties for a little while. That's the boat Texas had been in. So I look really forward, ironically, with everyone else talking about offense, I look forward to seeing how far they've come defensively. That week two game, everyone's got circled, Bama against Texas. I'm looking forward to it because I know what Bama's about to try and do offensively this year, and they could be lethal doing it. Their first big test is, ironically, Texas coming in, and Texas's run defense. And is that a kind of a stonewall matchup? Is there a decided advantage one way? That's out of September, that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Josh Pate, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. You can find his podcast, Late Kick Podcast, all the stuff that he's doing at CBS Sports. He is growing, becoming one of the foremost authorities on college football, and he'll be with us every week. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here on Wednesdays at 8:30. Josh, one is in the books. We really appreciate it. Great stuff, and looking forward to a great college football season.
Yes, sir. See you guys next week.
All right. There's Josh Pate right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
Let's get back to the squeaky clean, non-gambling, or drinking John and Lance, live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Anything worth watching tonight? Nebraska, Minnesota?
Well, you got Florida and Utah.
Florida, Utah.
No, that's two really good games.
Cam Rising is doubtful. Probably not going to play.
Get on that Matt Rule train today. Take the points. The Matt Rule train. I know everyone's rowing the boat with Minnesota, but Matt Rule is a very good college coach. He's only had one losing season.
New quarterback at Minnesota, Tanner Morgan. Hey, by the way, he got cut from his team.
Yeah, he stunk.
Yeah.
And Muhammad Ibrahim, who I like so much. He just injury issues. His medicals weren't great. He got cut, too. But, no, I think Nebraska, after waiting and waiting and waiting for Scott Frost, I would not be surprised if Nebraska ends up winning this. I think they were I don't know what they are now, but I think at one point they were 6.5-point dog. But Matt Rule will get this thing cooking. We do have to mention, pretty cool scene yesterday, 92,000 people, the most attendance, the highest attended women's event ever, I guess,
ever.
In anything in the world.
91,000 at the Women's World Cup. And so this Bassett at 92, or 90-plus thousand, this was 91.
They played
plus
at the football stadium, and they had seating also on the ground of the field where they played the volleyball match. Really cool. You can only pull something like that off at a college town, honestly, where everyone rallies behind it. But I thought that was a really cool scene, and Nebraska won. I guess they've got a really good team, too.
Well, they've got five national championships. Yeah, and then, you know, they're really, really popular there. That was cool. It was a neat scene, and they pulled it off. Good on them. That's a fun time. And I'm in LA. If I was there, I would have gone. I tried to go anyway.
I was going to not bring up the dichotomy of conversations that happened before this show started. But he said he was an ally, so I can't leave it alone.
Okay, so I opened the door.
Yeah,
to...
I was going to let it go. I was like, you know, some things we don't talk about. But then he had to slide.
Well, one of the girls looked like Ashley Judd.
He opened the door.
Which is fine. Yeah. That's fine to recognize.
Counselor, you opened the door to this questioning, this line of questioning.
Yeah, this isn't relevant. Well, he opened the door, Judge.
Relevant. Yeah. All right, I'll let him proceed.
Yeah. So,
careful, Counselor.
So we were let in by the great people here at the DraftKings Sportsbook here at the Golden Nugget. And John had an impromptu conversation. Actually, it was more of a monologue because the gentleman didn't really respond because he's like, ooh, I don't know about that. So John goes, not just the Ashley Judd thing. He goes, well, he said something about, I understand why all those people would go.
Look at them. No, they got good-looking girls on the team.
And then,
they're a popular
and
team.
Then John, and then John has to go on Fox 26 and talk about it.
Oh, he does the phony John came out.
He does the Astro stuff. He does the Texans. And then Nate Griffin, who we know.
I feel great for those girls.
He talked
90,
about
92,000
He goes, John,
people.
What about the 92,000 at the mouth? And he goes, yeah, it's great. It's great for women's sports. And then he goes, oh, it's much better than what the Nebraska football does and all this type of stuff. So there are two very
TV
different
John's
conversations.
Different.
TV Johnny is different
No, I'm the same
DraftKings Johnny.
You're not the same guy.
I'm the same guy. I feel great for him. I'm an ally.
DraftKings Johnny.
Women's sports are important in this country.
No, yes, they are.
Yes.
That's true.
That's true.
But initially it was like, oh, look at him.
Well, they are very good, fine-looking young ladies.
And I responded because I actually am an ally. Well, they do actually, you know, play the game well.
They do. And I pointed out five national championships.
Yes,
thank you.
On Fox 26.
Yeah, and right here. Okay, five national championships.
He opened the air.
So everybody's behind that team. Good. Nice job. Well done, ladies. Well done. All right, when we come back, we will bring more.
Phony.
No, not phony.
Phony.
I can't be more real. Man of the people. That's what I am.
Okay.
Hey, we're going to talk a little bit about the DraftKings Sportsbook and how you can get here on the other side.